Miller.
This episode of Tiger Turf Talk is brought to you by The Toro Company. For over 100 years, The Toro Company has been a leader in innovative solutions for turf maintenance. Through a strong network of professional distributors, Toro proudly offers a wide range of commercial-grade equipment. Visit Toro.com to explore their full lineup of products.
Welcome back to another episode of Tiger Turf Talk. We're here in Columbia, South Carolina with Clark Cox, the Associate Athletic Director of Facility Services.
Correct.
There we go. I got it.
He got it.
Everyone knows that I mess those up all the time. So thank you so much for having us down. It's been absolutely phenomenal. Everything's been incredible. For those that don't know, obviously don't know, we just took a little tour of the facility and everything. But thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. Just want to sort of get how your year's been. Obviously, we went over a lot of different things when it comes to the game field, trying new things from sprigging, recovering, all that. And just sort of how's your year been, you know, 2023 going into 2024?
Yeah, it's been an interesting year. It's been challenging. I think I was telling you guys before, our schedule this year, our football schedule this year was probably the weirdest schedule we've ever had. We had actually four games in a row in November to end the year. And so I've been here for 20 years. This was my 20th season at South Carolina. And
congratulations.
We've never had that type of schedule. Mm-hmm. We've had four in a row at the beginning of the year. We've had four in a row, you know, kind of September, October-ish, but never in November when we're really losing sun, where our temperatures are getting cooler. So it was a challenge. You know, we got through it, though. We got through it. We learned some things, and it was a different experience. And that was pretty neat, especially coming off of, you know, I've been going back to baseball season last year. I think I told you guys about, you know, the transition. The spring season last year was a challenge out here on the football field. We had a poor transition. We actually had to do some sprigging out here. And mm-hmm. You know, it stayed kind of cool. So that was always kind of, you know, when you got sprigs on the ground and it's not 98 degrees, you're like, whoo, I don't, hurry up, let's go, you know? And so,
please.
But, you know, we were loving life with our ryegrass over at baseball in May and June. So, you know, it's been an interesting year weather wise. You know, we probably had the coldest temperatures last December. Of 22, I guess. I'm 22. The coldest temperatures that we've had by a long shot here.
Yeah.
So that was we think led to some of our issues coming out of or going into the spring with our Bermuda grass. That coupled with the fact we had a field storm at the end of that season and having to recover from that. So, but the guys have been great. You know, Tim Flanagan, who is our and Tim wanted to be here today, but he had somewhere else he had to be. But Tim is our assistant athletic director for sports turf operations, and Tim's been in that role for about 4 years now, and his staff just do a phenomenal job. All a bunch of great guys who take a lot of pride in what they do, and so we embrace those challenges. You know, I try to stay out of their hair, but, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And so I'm sure my opinions sometimes are known whether they want to be or not.
There's always an itch, but, you know, you can't take yourself off the field completely, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a great year. I mean, we came through football season. We're getting ready for baseball season, which I showed you guys the baseball field, which we just renovated this past summer. So
absolutely beautiful.
You know, we're anxious to see how it plays, and it was just really neat to see. It's just, you know, it's neat to see that field come back to new again, you know, after seeing it new, 12, 13 years ago when it was kind of my baby.
Yeah.
And now to see that rebirth,
yeah,
it was pretty neat to see it get back to the true grades, and it drains again. You know, it does not hold water.
It's always what you hope for, right?
So, yeah, that was neat, but interesting year.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we obviously got into a lot of different things when it comes to cultural practices and sort of what you've been able to learn from years past and just sort of going into, say, the renovation at baseball. Mm-hmm. What has it been like to be able to take those experiences and sort of apply it and experience new things? You know, like we talked about the North Bridge being sprigged into the game field and just sort of seeing all these things sort of come to fruition and moving forward, working with your staff on making those decisions to, you know, go back to grade.
Right.
Talked about removing 13 truckloads of warning track material, all these things. You know, what goes into those decisions, obviously, working at the, you know, as an associate athletic director?
Well, it's first and foremost, you know, a lot of those big things, you know, that we have to go through the proper channels to get funding to do it. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with Jeff Davis, who is our senior associate athletic director for facilities and operations. And Jeff's been here. He's been here since I have, before I have. And so, you know, with the project like baseball, obviously that's not a cheap project. It's a lot of money. And so we talked about and planned that. We knew we needed to do it for years. So to finally be able to get the funding to do it took, you know, efforts on my part, but on Jeff's part as well, you know, to secure those funds. So, you know, we started working on that a long time ago. But then, you know, then those conversations, you know, I have with Tim and his staff, you know, we try to get as much input. You know, that one was an easy one because we knew we had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That field started slowing down drain wise. We didn't lose a game due to a wet field, but we were getting close. In fact, we had one game last year. Once we had already made the decision that we were going to renovate, where we spent a good portion of the afternoon just squeegeeing water into basically a hole that we had dug. And used a sump pump to pump it out. Yeah. So
those are the best days, right?
You know, you shouldn't have to do those things on a sand-based field.
Not at all.
That has drainage in it. Yeah. And so it just had slowed down that much. There was so much organic in the top. It was just really slow. But no, I mean, you know, a lot of those decisions to, like, do those things, those are the easy ones, the ones that you know you have to do, mm-hmm. right? But we just get together, you know, like we talked about sprigging North Bridge into the stadium field, the football field here at Williams-Brice Stadium. Those were discussions that Tim and myself had with some other members of the staff, just throwing some things off the wall. Like we knew once we started getting into spring, we knew we were going to be really thin.
Yeah.
And so you know, that was kind of a necessity too, but it was also like, let's try something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably something that if it were just me, I don't know that I would have made the decision to do what we did. So I'm thankful that those guys are maybe a little more, they're younger than me. So maybe they're a little more forward thinking than I am. And so presented some options that maybe I would not have thought about. I probably would have just been, let's just throw some more sod on it. But
yeah.
We decided, hey, we got a window of the sprig here, and we did it, and we used a different variety that you know we haven't used before, but we've kind of played around with in some bits and pieces, and you know, so it's we thought it was a viable option, and it worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, experiences, being able to try new things that maybe you haven't had experience doing, you know, like I told you guys earlier. No year is ever the same, which is what I think makes this industry really neat.
Yeah.
You know, the weather's different. You know, you have different, like I told you about baseball, you have different players that present different issues for you from year to year. So everything's always changing as far as wear spots. You know, this guy likes to play on the edge. This guy plays on the dirt. And so things are always kind of moving. It's a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredibly challenging, but I think for me, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And I, what I love about that is like they're the moving target in the sense of like, it's not just the one thing. You have people that you're dealing with. You have departments that you have to work through. Mm-hmm. You have to get everything approved. You have to work towards this common goal. But at the same time, like just everything about turf specific, there's never something that's similar, you know? And
right.
I think that's one of the best things is being able to bring sort of the turf industry into the light of everyone else, because mm-hmm. it's so hard to, because people just have an expectation of, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to do this. Like, wait, what? You're going to put how long of a tent on the game field for? Like, it's that kind of stuff like that I think is so cool. And something that obviously that kids learn about here pretty quickly when they come into the industry is working with those departments. Mm-hmm. And in your role, can you sort of explain how it's become sort of paramount to have a cohesive, you know, workplace in the sense of mm-hmm. having faith in your staff to get the fields ready while working with other facility groups, mm-hmm. making sure that game days operate, and there's just so much that we can go into, but yeah. What is that like for you?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and if you had asked me that question probably 15 years ago, I would have given you a different answer. But when you start talking about working with different groups when it comes to turf grass or facilities or whatever, I started realizing, you know, I used to be the no guy. No. You can't do that on this field. You cannot do that on my field. No, can't do it. And what I've realized over the years, and I think as an industry, we have to realize is that, you know, one, we have to be open to doing things that maybe we don't want to do because, hey, we need to have this concert to generate revenue. We need to have a party on the field. So that a fundraising party for our football program.
I did see a video on it. I was like,
"Yep,
I'm not scared at all."
Yep. You know, Beaver Bowl. Yeah, they threw that out a couple of years ago, and we had our second one last spring. But you know, like I said, 10 years ago, I probably would have said, "Hell no,
we have what? A concourse for no, a reason, yeah, people."
But what I've learned is that. Obviously, there's things you can't do, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's some things that you just cannot do. And a lot of it is based on the timing mm-hmm. of it. But you know, I think to be a turf manager, I feel like to make ourselves more, we have to become more open to doing a variety of things. And one, we've come a long way in this industry that we can do things now that we couldn't do 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
On a field and then play on it within 5 days or even the next day.
Just say, yeah.
You know, so there's things that are possible now that maybe weren't possible 20 years ago. But I think we have to be open to those things and can kind of seeing it from as I've been in an athletic department for years and kind of seeing now my eyes have been open to the benefits of some of those things and how it benefits the whole group, not just. So I'm hoping now that people don't look at me as the no guy because I've said yes. Now my staff may say, I can't believe Clark let them do that.
It's like you did this to us.
And I do always try to get input from Tim and the guys. And it's like, what do you think? Do you think this is something we can handle? But, I do think that moving forward in our industry, we have to do a better job of, and a lot of that too, I think, goes back to the whole, you know, synthetic versus natural debate. It's like, well, I think a lot of people have gone synthetic because they've always been told no.
Yeah.
We can't do that on a grass field. Well, now it's like, that's kind of what opened my eyes several years ago. We better start saying yes to some of these special events.
Because they're going
to
be like, you know what,
we're not going to have any natural grass left.
Yeah.
So, and we can do it. We can make it happen. It takes a little work, takes a little bit of...
A little bit of planning, right? Yeah.
That's kind of when I think about how things have changed and how my eyes... I see things a little differently than I did maybe when I was just a straight-up turf manager.
Yeah. I mean, my boss... I don't know if you ever met. Have you ever met Casey Underwood?
Casey
made the transition into a role like yours.
Yep.
God, that's like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
But he was always the yes. Like he said yes to everything because he understood like the idea of, hey, maybe we shouldn't be setting up the press conference for football, but you know, departments later on, we're going to need something from them in the sense of those things. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on the synthetic and the concern of. you know, if we say no to everything, then their just answer is going to be, all right, plastic's easy, we're fine. We can do whatever we want.
And a lot of times we say no to things because – not because we didn't think or that we – we would say no not because we knew we couldn't do them. It's because we'd never done it.
Yeah.
We'd never done that before. Well, okay, well, let's try it. Let's see if we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And a lot of times now we're doing stuff that – you know, like, I mean, the Beamer ball is a perfect example. Is it something I want to do the week before our first football game? No, but it's okay to let
– Baseball season is upon us. Toro's Field Pro 6040 was created with ball fields in mind. The Field Pro's multi-tool system allows four tools to be carried at once, significantly reducing the time required preparing infields. Scarifying, grading, and dragging can now be completed in a single pass, saving you time and effort. Visit Toro's website today to learn more about the Field Pro 6040.
You know, 800 people go out there and have a good time on the field. We take precautions, you know, certain precautions, but we've got, you know, 2 months before we have to have the field ready for play again.
Yeah.
You know, in a situation like that. But you know, 20 years ago, I'd have been like, heck no.
What did you just ask me?
go do that somewhere else. But what you find is when you are more open to allowing things, I think people look at you as more valuable.
100%.
You know, as an employee, and they say, okay, he's not just going to say no. These guys are, you know, and I'm talking about my staff.
Yeah.
I think my bosses look at my staff and say, these guys are good and they can make a lot of good things happen.
I think over time, I mean, we always said it about Casey because we would be like in the trenches digging, putting conduit in, whatever. It's like the amount of money that usually grounds departments save athletic departments is like astronomical, you know? And now you're adding the idea of, We're working to do more with the playing surface, like a Beamer ball, which probably brings in God knows how much money for the boosters or whoever it is. I don't know how it works, but being able to add the you know value of that is something that I think speaks volumes of what our industry has become and what we're able to do now. So you had a question there. But
yeah, so with the topic of your role and your position and your work, you have a lot of different environments you have to handle, whether that's football, baseball, soccer. And when it comes down to that, like, what's your, like, how do you manage your time when giving enough attention to one field over the other?
Well, number one, we've got a great staff. That's the biggest. We're very blessed here that we've got a good group of guys. And so, and you guys didn't get to see, so you saw where baseball was here. And you see where we are now in the football stadium. So our football practice facilities are basically right across the street here. Our golf, we have about a 20-acre golf facility that we maintain, too, that's right across the street.
God bless you guys. Jeez.
But then we have our soccer field, our softball field, our track and field area is in another facility over here. So we're really spread out. You know, it's almost like a triangle from where we are, and there's about – a mile between our facilities within that triangle. So it's necessity for us to have a, kind of a split staff. So we have a group of guys who kind of stay over at baseball that's their primary duties, at least one person that kind of maintains that. Then the same thing here at football, we have a group of guys here, and then over at we call it spring sports, but it's basically soccer and softball and track, along with tennis courts as well. We have a staff over there that maintain that. But it's from my mind, and especially when I was the turf manager, you know, you want everything to be treated equally. And so when we put together our maintenance plan, you know, within reason, obviously, we're not every field's the same, so you're not treating everything the same. We're basing our fertility on soil samples and things like that. You have some fields that require more verification than others, but as a whole, you try to treat everything equally, all while knowing in the back of your mind there's certain fields that are going to have 80,000 people sitting around it and a lot of TV eyes on TV versus maybe a field that doesn't. At the end of the day, our primary role here is to make sure that those fields are safe for our student athletes. And it doesn't matter what sport that is or how many people are watching it. So, you know, we put our priority on everything. But now there's times when maybe aesthetically the aesthetics come into play more on the football stadium that's right out here just because of the amount of eyes that are on it.
That and money, you know, the big thing. Yeah. That's what I was always a fight with other coaches. Like, well, why is the football field? Like, they pay for your program. Sorry. I didn't want to say that to them, but it was like.
And it is, it's kind of one of those things. It's like I think most people in athletics understand, in college athletics, in the SEC especially, understand, you know, it's kind of unspoken a lot of times.
You don't want to say anything.
it's unspoken a lot of times, but at the end of the day, you know, and this isn't lip service. I truly, sincerely, and my guys will tell you the same thing. I care just as much about the safety and the playability of my soccer practice field as I do Williams-Brice Stadium, because that's our first duty is safety and making sure that the fields are in good shape and from a safety standpoint, first and foremost. You know, just sometimes when it comes to the aesthetic side of it, you know, painting and making, you know, obviously there's a lot more spent on this one here at the football stadium because it's the most visible one.
Also requires more when it comes to paint and everything. So,
when you're talking about how to manage your time, though, I mean, it all starts with having that staff, though, that staff that is kind of, we assign that area and then those guys, but, that's kind of, I don't know if I answered your question, but That's the first thing. I'm blessed here, and I have been blessed here at South Carolina. When I got here, I've never felt, you know, I talked to other grounds guys and sports field managers across the country that will say, well, I'm not respected, or I don't feel like I'm respected. I've always been very blessed here. I've always felt like I had the support of my administration. I've always felt like that what my staff did here and does is appreciated not only by our coaches, but by our administration. They support us. They've always been supported of us. And that's not the way it is everywhere. So I'm very happy about that. I'm very blessed with that. You know, when I got here, so the old baseball field here, and the field that was here when I got here was Sarge Fry Field. Well, Sarge Fry was the groundskeeper. Sarge was director of facility like landscaping for like 50 years. I didn't realize that until I got here, that I knew Sarge Fry Field, but I didn't really realize that, gosh, they named their baseball field after the grounds guy. So maybe that's where it comes from, that Sarge laid the foundation. I always give Sarge credit that, you know, Sarge was very well respected around here. And unfortunately he passed away before I got to meet him. But that was, maybe that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
But I've always felt like that, at least in the 20 years I've been here, that everyone has always been very respectful of what we do. And I hear other guys talking, and so I understand how blessed I am.
It's hard to come by sometimes, you know. So I mean, it's incredible, but obviously that's rooted in, you know, your leadership and obviously your staff. You know, over 20 years, you know, I'm sure you've dealt with number of employees / work like partners when it comes to maintaining services. There's a standard set by you over that time frame. You have expectations, all of these things that add up to just the crew executing the job. What has that been like for you to sort of mentor, be able to have, you know, that impact on someone like Tim or your other workers, and obviously the guy who's been here for 40 years painting the logo and everything. What has it been like being able to be that mentor to the point where you have 100% trust and faith in them to execute at the highest level, because everything at South Carolina has always, in everyone's eyes, seen at a very high level. Baseball going into the deep heart of the playoffs every single year. Football, obviously, on the national stage. I'm sure your other sports obviously have deep runs in the playoffs. But when it comes to everything, just coherently working as a staff and being able to be there as their mentor.
Well, it's been great. Now I don't consider myself a mentor. Heck, a lot of the guys that have been here, like you talked about Eddie Dunning, who's been painting. Eddie's been here for 40 years. We have another gentleman on our staff who's still here. Eddie and James Bocknight. James has been here for 30. James is 80. Years old and can work circles around any of the 20-year-olds that we have on our staff. Donnie Lindler, who's another of our assistants, who Donnie maintained our baseball field, was kind of our lead guy at baseball, who Donnie just retired in December. He retired. He says he's done.
We'll see in March for the season.
So I've been fortunate to work with some really seasoned guys. Mm-hmm. I'll call them seasoned guys who have taught me things.
Yeah.
I've also been very fortunate to work with some younger guys that I think about. I don't know if y'all have talked to Jimmy Simpson.
Oh, love Jimmy.
But Jimmy. Jimmy worked with me when I first came down here, and Jimmy was very instrumental in helping me get things going here, which was awesome. And Jimmy and I are best friends. I mean, we become best friends, and we talk, all the time now. And that was a great relationship that kind of knew Jimmy before he came and worked down here. But I knew when I came down here, I said, man, I got to have a guy who I can lean on. And, baseball's big here, and I knew football was going to be kind of my number one thing. And so I was like, I'll focus on football, but then I need someone who can kind of run baseball. And Jimmy was that guy. And Jimmy took not just baseball, but he helped us organize our entire staff. Mm-hmm. And I give Jimmy a lot of credit for setting the bar here with – what the expectations were back in, Jimmy was only here 2 years. I think he left in 2006 to go back up to Cary. But he played a large role in that. And various other guys. I mean, now even with Tim, Tim comes from the golf world. And so Tim, we hired Tim several years ago to manage our golf facility when we built that. And, I saw right away, one, his level of commitment and his willingness to where the bar was set for him. And so when I had an opportunity to kind of move out of the sports turf manager role or sports turf only role and move more into a facility role, it was only natural that Tim rolled into that. Now, he didn't have a whole lot of field experience. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to, he was able to work with some of these other guys, that did have it. So he's gotten a lot of experience with the field stuff, and he would tell you he's learned a lot about field maintenance in the last several years, probably from our guys, from Donnie, from Marcus Thurber, who's one of our other supervisors, Justin Scurry, who's one of our supervisors as well. There's a lot of overlap in the golf world and the sports turf world, but then there's some things that are totally foreign. You don't
infield skins.
Skins and painting. You don't do that a whole lot in the golf world. So Tim's learned a lot of those things. So that's been neat, coaching him up on that. He's coached me up on a lot of things in the golf side of things. So
I feel like a lot of incredible sports field managers come from the golf side of things.
Yep. I think so. I mean, and really, truly, it seems like a lot of guys, at least some point in time in sports turf world, worked on a golf course.
I'm one of the few that have not, to be honest. I don't – I never had an issue with going into golf. I just never saw myself on a course. Yep. It was kind of like – Yeah, I just couldn't get up that early. I couldn't do all of the things that involve,
I've never worked on a golf course. Mm-hmm. My golf experience has been our practice facilities.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a little facility at NC State when I was there. But, I mean, my entire career, other than growing up on the farm and, you know, maybe a couple years, I'd call it being a student equipment manager when I was at NC State. I've been in college athletics. I've been in college athletics now for 30 years. This is my 30th season in college athletics, 30th football season. So that's kind of what I know. But I've gotten a little bit of golf through our practice facilities.
Yeah.
But met a lot of really good people from that world, though.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsor, the Toro Company, and their Workman UTX. The Workman UTX is tough and dependable with the highest payload in its class. Rugged design, powerful performance, and unmatched versatility. It gets the job done without compromise. Visit Toro's website to learn more.
One of the big things that, you know, you've talked about, obviously, we talked about on the field is your roots in agriculture and agriculture education. How have you sort of grown and seen the growth of our industry specifically? You know, we're all heading down to the Sports Field Management Association conference. There has been so much growth since when you first started. And we've talked about the advancements on the field and everything. What are some of the advancements you've seen sort of as an industry as a whole? You know, we talked about doing more with natural grass, doing more to make sure people are, you know, aware of us in a sense. But what do you see, or what have you seen, and what do you hope to see in the future when it comes to sports field management?
Well, I think we've, you know, kind of going back to the respect thing, I do think that for the most part, there's more respect from other side of things. You know, I can really only speak to college athletics, but I feel like in the 20 years I've been here, that I've seen that respect grow. So, you know, I know we got a long way to go. I think even, you know, in any of the other side of things, I mean, I know a lot of guys that are in baseball, minor league baseball. I think that's getting there. I think, you know, we always need to improve. I think, the professionalism that I've seen in this industry over the last 20 years grow. We're doing a better job, I think, of we're doing a better job of telling, of presenting ourselves.
Yes.
You know, I was on the board, SFMA board, a couple of years ago, and one thing that popped up all the time was how and this is to something I think we've got to do a better job of. And it was like, we do a really good job of telling our story to our peers. We don't do a really good job of telling our story to people outside of our industry.
100%.
And that's what we've got to improve. And so I see some improvements in that.
That's why we sort of do this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think what you guys is great. I mean, what y'all are doing is awesome. And it's like we've got to get the word out to – the general public as to what we do. And sometimes we don't to be totally honest, we don't toot our own horn enough. And that's something that we're not, you know, we're not great at promoting ourselves. And I think that goes back to is kind of like you know, we talk about agriculture. You know, we're kind of a blue collar, hands in the dirt type of industry.
Sometimes and so, face in the dirt.
That's right. So I just don't think that we're not wired to be, you know, basically braggadocious. And that's not what I want us to be. But we're not wired to tell, hey,
we're behind
the look
scenes.
What we did.
Yeah.
We're more of a behind the scenes. You know, the only way we're going to get recognized is if we screw up. And we've got to change that perception, and I'm hoping that the young people are the ones that are going to do that. I see it more in, you know, folks this age that they're willing to tell that story, and not be so, you know, not be so humble. I mean, I that sounds like a bad thing.
No, I hear you.
But it's like in order for us to get the word out as to what we do. And what a hell of a job some of these folks are doing. I mean, I was watching some of the playoffs games last week.
Yeah.
And you look at what Kansas, the surface that Travis Hogan provided last week in those conditions.
It's crazy.
In Kansas City. I mean, that's amazing. The surface that you saw in Baltimore last night or yesterday.
Shonda was incredible.
In the pouring rain.
Yeah.
Never a word about
San Fran
footing.
Too.
Yeah, San Fran. Yeah, poured rain there too. Awesome. Those surfaces were awesome.
Mother Nature's just mad at us, I think.
And nobody, you know, you don't hear anybody. You know, I didn't listen to the whole broadcast, but mm-hmm. I didn't hear a lot of the job that these guys have done is unbelievable. But that should have, you should have heard that.
I can't agree with you more in the sense that it should be and it should be heard, you know. And some of the people in Kansas City mentioned the fact that, like, the heating system and all that, like, you can tell the difference of what was ice on the sideline versus, like, playable on the field. Right. But what drives me up a wall is you will hear 10 times a game if something's wrong with the field. Like, the Super Bowl. Prime example, again, they do a phenomenal job. Nick's working his butt off over there right now in Vegas. There are so many factors that go into a Super Bowl that no one ever has to encounter, whether that's the practices, whatever it was. And I've heard 17 different stories about what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one guy I trust, and you mentioned him a second ago, about what happened. And I'm not going to get into all that. But the fact that, like, people were slipping and – we can go back and forth on the sense, well, artificial, you know, your tear ACL and all this.
Yep.
Like, there needs to be an understanding between, you know, organizations and the people that you have working for you. You're not supposed to take a dump on them in a sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And I understand they're broadcasters and whatnot, but puts information out, have mm-hmm. like, you know, a bulletin on the scoreboard, like, mm-hmm. hey, this is what's happening right now. It's mm-hmm. something where, like, again, like, people are educated on everything that's going on, and it's not just a free-for-all at the groundskeeper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so many times we take the heat for when most of the time it's just a perceived thing. You know, slipping.
Everyone thought, like, it was Tahoma at the Super Bowl. Guys, that's ryegrass. Not Tahoma, you know?
I mean, I know, you know, and some of it too, you know, like when you're talking about it, it's like, what kind of cleats are they wearing?
100%.
You know, when you're talking about slipping, that's the one that bugs me all the time. When someone slips on a field and they're like, yeah, he slipped on the – well, sometimes athletes slip.
Yeah.
Sometimes they – you know, Bobby Campbell, and I love Bobby, and Bobby was a mentor to me who was at University of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are too young to remember Bobby probably. You probably remember him, Drew. Mm-hmm. But Bobby was when I got in this industry, Bobby was somebody that I always looked to as – and I didn't know Bobby, but Bobby was – you see his fields on TV and you say, that's the field, that's the surface. That's what I want my fields to look like. Every time you turn on, he was the standard. He was the bar. And Bobby was very active in SFMA, and what a treat to – when I came here, got to know Bobby and mm-hmm. got to be – friends with Bobby, an SEC member, and loved Bobby. But, you know, Bobby said years ago, and I think it was before I even really knew him, I saw him giving a talk at the old TCNC in Charlotte one day, but he talked about slipping and ryegrass, and, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of different theories on it. But he said, you know, in that East Tennessee draw that he had, you know, I don't see a lot of the ones that play on Sunday slipping. Normally the guy that slips is the guy that he's about maxed out his potential. You know, and what he was getting at was that the really good athletes, you know, tend to stay on their feet.
Yeah, 100%.
But that's one that stuck with me from Bobby. You know, he was like, right. But back to the cleat thing, it's like, and I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but it's. I think there's a lot of teams, especially in college, that they're just wearing the cleat that they're whether it's Nike, Under Armour, whatever, tell them to wear.
Yeah.
And that cleat may not be the best for
whatever surface it is.
Whatever surface you're playing on. And so
and there's been a lot of research.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that I've always found crazy is the amount of research that's gone into you know, the injuries of a low ankle, knee injury, cleats on artificial versus natural. Like, I think every college equipment place has a poster of it. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, if you have this surface, this spike, hey, this spike. And you're right. I think people just kind of go out there. And that was like another thing about the Super Bowl. It was like, well, they went and changed their cleats at halftime. Well, I'm pretty sure both groundskeepers warned them, you know, about, hey, this is what's going on. Be prepared. So,
and I try to have those, you know, and that's you know, at least in my career, I've always, and of course, I was a student equipment manager. So I have a little bit of an understanding of how equipment works and the things that go on. But I always make sure I have a great relationship with my equipment manager. We've had a couple here and we got a good one now. And I'll go talk to him and say, hey, here's what we're doing. And here's what's going on. So be prepared. Even sometimes when they go on a road, it's like, well, you know, that's, you
it's know, known for this. It's.
So, you know, those conversations. But no, back to the thing, it's like you about telling our story. I don't know what we have to do, but and maybe it's getting better, but like it burns me up when I watch a game on a natural field and somebody slips and it seems like they harp on it.
Yeah.
Well, then I watch a game on a synthetic surface and I see guys slip. They never say a word.
It's plastic. Why would there be a groundskeeper falling or anything? You
know? And so it's like, well, a slip is a slip. Doesn't matter what its surface it's on. Yeah. You know, hey, it's like, why do you have to call one out and not the other? But anyway.
No, I'm with you. And the big thing that I always like certain situations, like with Danny, like, synthetic is probably the best option, having two teams and all these different things and events and all that. But the idea that, you know, if anything's grass, there's more of a risk is kind of just like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, actually crazy? Like, I don't care who's putting information out about what, like,
yeah,
it is scientifically proven, you know, with hundreds of studies, you know, like that there is a significant difference.
Well, it's cool to see I see a shift right now, and a shift, maybe a bigger shift coming.
I think the World Cup's going to have a huge impact on
you. You know, you took the words right out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. I think.
Sorry, didn't mean to.
I think World Cup is going to show what can be done and what is possible.
100%.
And so I think that's going to open some people's eyes to you know, what we can do, and so I'm excited about that. I've maybe got an opportunity to be somewhat involved in that somewhere.
And that's awesome.
And so because I think that's going to be one of the defining moments of our industry.
God bless you, Dr. Sorokin and really Rogers, right now, really doing all the research, you know?
I really do, you know, so that's exciting.
I saw a picture the other day. Sorry, I don't mean to keep dragging. They announced Dallas as the final, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, God, I wasn't aware of that.
They had, and again, it might just be a rumor or anything, but it was in the mix. It was like New York, Dallas, or SoFi in L.A. They put a platform in the stadium about where they'd have to raise the field level for it to be within FIFA spec. And in Dallas, they have like those underground, not like underground, but they have like those the suites on the field that like it looked a little lower or whatnot. Yeah. It had to be 25 feet in the air. Mm. This little platform with a little flag for the corner that would have to fill in. I think it's like 7 to 8 rows across. Wow. It would be just filled in. And I'm like, that's a lot. Like, that is more than a lot.
Yeah, that's
you wild. Know, so
that is wild.
Yeah,
yeah, but it will. I think it's going to open some eyes. We'll see where it goes. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's like a lot of other things. It's, you know, money is going to drive everything.
Money plays, you know,
whether or not, you know, after World Cup. I mean, you know, there's talk about, well, are they going to?
Why would you go back, right?
You know, yeah. Well, what's that going to do? Well, it's going to come down to dollars and cents. It always does. And so, but it's cool to think about. And
I know
cool
the NFLPA is making an even bigger push. So I'm very curious. I'm curious to see how much that actually is met with a discussion even.
The Toro Company is known for innovation. For example, the Reelmaster 5010H improves performance and productivity. The industry's first and only reel mower with a true hybrid drive system. Save up to 20% on fuel use while also lowering costs and lowering the vehicle's carbon imprint. Visit Toro's website today to learn more about this revolutionary mower and discover the power of sustainable and efficient grounds maintenance.
Yeah. My biggest thing is, I've always said this, you know, why is groundskeepers, why are we not in contact with players in the sense of, okay, you guys want this. We know what to do to get it.
Mm-hmm.
We understand what you need, but I feel like there hasn't been a conversation, and I could be wrong, you know, and I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I know last year, was it the NFLPA?
Yeah, and it was incredible.
President came and spoke at SFMA. Unfortunately, I wasn't there last year to hear that, but I thought that was a great step with kind of.
And there was a good conversation.
Some dialogue between the game and our organization, which represents our industry. So I don't know. We'll see. I was on the board and we had a lot of conversations. The same thing we're talking about now is we got to tell our story. We got to get it out there. And it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. I guess. So,
one of the big things, obviously social media, you know, I'll bring her up because we're presenting this week, but Leah Withrow, like just the TikTok she puts out. Like, again, like you can ask each one of them. I'm terrible at making TikToks, but I make them because I'm trying to prove a point. But like the reach that it gets sometimes on certain videos or whatever is insane. You know, she hired an entire game day staff of one time. It was like, okay, it's kind of got something behind it. God bless
you.
But you know, I think it'll be interesting to see moving forward how that impacts it. Sorry, Kat.
So kind of going off promoting this industry, what made you discover it and like, how did that lead you?
Oh, wow. So I'll try to be short. So I told you I grew up on a farm. So I've been involved in agriculture my entire life. I grew up in North Carolina, it was a tobacco farm. We grew tobacco. We had row crops and turkeys and hogs. Still growing. My parents, my dad, still farming at 80 with my brother and his boys. So agriculture is in my blood. I've always enjoyed sports. I've always enjoyed athletics. I played baseball, football, you know, growing up. And like I said, when I went to college, I was I was an ag ed major. I thought I wanted to be an ag teacher. I had a great ag program that I came through at my high school with some really special advisors and ag teachers that really I was like, hey, that's what I want to do. I want to impact young people's lives and help them have careers in agriculture. Got to college and kind of realized that not every program was like the one that I came through and said, you know, maybe this isn't for me. But stuck it out, got my degree in ag ed, I didn't get a teaching degree. I kind of went more of the public relations. They had a communications kind of a side path, marketing. I did an internship with marketing. But while I was there, I was also a student equipment manager for the football team. And when I graduated, I had no idea what I was going to do. I really, really thought I was probably going to go to work for I worked for the Department of Agriculture as an internship right before I graduated. And I said, well, maybe I'll find something like that. I did learn that I didn't really like wearing a tie every day because I had to go downtown Raleigh and put a tie on. And I was like, well, maybe this isn't for me either. But I knew a lot of the guys that were on the grounds crew at State because I was a manager. And so I said, I asked them, I said, y'all got any openings while I look for a real job to come work on the grounds crew to make a little money? They said, yeah, come on. And I fell in love with it. That's how I was introduced to it. Had no idea. I went all through, you know, my college years, had no idea. I never painted a field, never, you know, pushed a paint machine, I'd mowed grass obviously growing up, but I'd never been on a real mower, knew nothing about anything. And they took me in, and I think because they knew I could drive a tractor. And at the time, we were building a golf tee box, and I spent my first week driving an old bucket We had a tractor that had a bucket on the front of it. And I think my boss, Ray Brinsfield, who kind of introduced me to this industry, I think Ray was like, I got a guy who can run a tractor and he don't mind running a tractor all week. And that's why I got hired. But I fell in love with it. I had a good group of guys that I worked with, which I think made for a really great experience for me. I'm still great friends with all those guys. But I learned really quick, like, I enjoy doing what I'm doing. It was a perfect mix of agriculture and the things that I grew up doing and being able to be involved in athletics. I can be at baseball games and football games and softball games and soccer games, and hey, I get paid to be there. and the whole process to getting a field ready to play, taking it from, you know, especially football. I love football. Football is my number one love. And actually taking care of a football field is my number one love. I love being able to take that beat up raggedy field in spring and turn it into a green blank canvas and then turn it into a game day football field with all the proper lines and numbers as well as the decorations. And so that's how I found it. It was just kind of dumb luck, and I was lucky enough that there were some guys that were able to – some guys had some opportunities ahead of me to leave and go other places, and so I was able to get that part-time job, became a full-time job, and then I went back to NC State and was able to get my two-year degree in turfgrass management while I was working. And so that's how I found it. You know, I wish I could tell you there was some lightning bolt moment that that happened and I saw some, you know, there was no social media back then, so that would have been impossible. But I do look back and I think, man, I wish I could have discovered this when I was your age. Mm-hmm. I wish I had discovered that when I was a junior in high school. And what, I don't know what would have been different, but obviously I would have chosen that path then, and I would have gotten a degree in either turf grass right away, and who knows what would be different. Mm-hmm. I don't regret anything I've ever done, but I wasn't aware at your age that there was such a thing as sports turf management. Mm-hmm. I mean, it never occurred to me the field that I was playing on when I was in high school that somebody had to provide that for me. It never occurred to me. You just knew it was
there.
It was good or it wasn't good. You know, we played on some that weren't so good, yeah. You know, and you're like, oh, we got to go there. That feels horrible. But you never even thought about that there was somebody there that was putting in the work to provide that surface for you. But I think that's another place. You know, you talk about, you know, now there's so many different platforms that you can get information to people, whether it's TikTok or mm-hmm. all the social platforms, not to mention, other forms of media that exist. But, that to me is where what we need to be doing more of. You know, we need to be reaching guys like you and even younger than you to tell them what this, you know, what we got. But
yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that, again, when you talk about the younger generation, I think the thing that we try to do at Brentsville specifically is it's not just about the kids. It's about the families mm-hmm. having an understanding of what it is so that then the community has a better understanding mm-hmm. of what it is. And that just sort of trickles down and there are just groups that are like, wait, what? This is a thing? Like, mm-hmm. we didn't know that this was a thing. Like,
right.
And that leads to students who, you know, want to pursue it and want to be a part of it, and it's truly incredible. Now, one thing I did want to ask, a little shift. There is such an incredible culture when it comes to Carolina turf, you know, and I say that because of some of the names you rattled off, like Jimmy and all the guys that mm-hmm. come from this era. You guys have such a deep passion for this industry mm-hmm. and what you guys want to accomplish. What has that been like, you know, being able to develop something from – where, again, like the conference when I was down there 2 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. It's been 2 years. But, you know, you have Casey Carrick. You have all these names mm-hmm. and all these guys that, you know, just have a love for it and look to not just improve the Carolinas themselves, but just people and industry professionals from across the country, you know, that you guys do such an incredible job. What has it been like to sort of develop that culture where, again, it's truly one of the best parts of the country when it comes to sports field managers?
I would not disagree with you there. I'm very fortunate to be where I am. You know, it's been great. I'm very fortunate. When I got down here to South Carolina, there were guys who – so you talk about the Carolinas, the Southeast Regional Show. So it's basically North and South Carolina, SFMA kind of started that and put it on a joint. But, you know, when I got down here – so I wasn't – well, one, there was no SFMA chapter in North Carolina when I was still in North Carolina.
Gotcha.
Now – there were guys, we used to partake in the old TCNC, Turfgrass Council of North Carolina, but we weren't involved. So when I got down here, and we weren't really involved in the national SFMA, but when I got to South Carolina, the chapter here was kind of maybe a year old. And so you had guys like Bruce Suddeth putting their heart and soul into it, Alan Wilson and those guys. I think Mike Burgess, who's Greg's dad, who started it. Trying to think, Bruce Veman, all those guys that were kind of the founders of the SFMA chapter in South Carolina. And when I got here, one, I wanted to be involved in it. And number two, they were welcoming me. And they were very welcome. And so it's been neat to be involved with that group. Now, in the North Carolina side, you know, I go back. I said we had the TCNC, and you know, guys like Tommy Walston, who I knew Tommy years ago, who was very active in that, and they kind of started a sports turf side of things. But you know, it's really weird when you start thinking about all those guys, and the thing is, most of us are really good friends too. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's just that we all we all share a passion. You know, there's a lot of us that are kind of from the same age within the age group. I'm the old man in a bunch with kind of my guys, but you know, it's a good bunch of guys. And, you know, I go back to the guys that went to NC State. You know, a lot of those guys came through either, before me or after me. And, you know, I talk about Ray Brinsfield a while ago. Ray just retired last year. But it was an incredible amount of guys that are in the industry, maybe not all into college, but there's been a lot of guys that went on to have careers in the sports turf industry that came through NC State when Ray Brinsfield was kind of the, you know, Ray was there over the fields. Brinkley Wagstaff, I'll throw Brinkley in there too, because Brinkley kind of got Ray into the business, I think. It was a good experience for all of us, and I think we all fell in love with it because of that. I think you just got a bunch of good guys that are passionate about something. I don't want to say I'm not tooting my own horn, but to throw myself in this bunch, but I think they're hardworking guys that take pride in what they do, and they want to have the best of what they're doing. I don't know why it seems like there's so many of them in this area. You know, it's been a joy to be a part of that. It's been a joy to watch both of those chapters grow. You know, when we first started having a show down in Myrtle Beach, I mean, it was like maybe 50 people in a conference room that was not very big at the old, trying to think of the name of the place, but it's grown from that, and it's been neat to be a part of and see that. I don't pretend to be, you know, there's a lot of people that had a heck of a lot more to do with it than I did, but I was just glad to be a small part of it and kind of watch it grow. So, I miss not being there this year. Those four games in November prevented me from being able to go for the first time probably ever. I hadn't missed one yet until this year. But I just think there's a lot of guys who take a lot of pride in what they're doing. And there's a lot of people that came before us that laid that foundation. And we've just picked it up, and hopefully there's some young people coming behind us that'll continue that legacy.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you bring up young people. Obviously, you got a couple in the room here, but, you know, with sort of that next generation and people that are interested in maybe not, what would be your best words of advice for them when it comes to taking that first step, and maybe some advice for these guys specifically going down to the SFMA show of what they should try and accomplish in their time there?
Meet as many people as you can meet. Talk. Be talkative. You know, ask questions. You know, I find that, you know, I've got a daughter that's your age. My youngest is 18. She's a senior in high school. My oldest is 21, or she will be 21. But I don't feel like your generation talks enough, because you're doing this all the time.
Wonder who said that today, you know? Many times.
But you got to talk. You got to talk. So ask questions, and face-to-face, you know, that's one thing. Why you're going to a place. All these people down there are just as passionate as you are about what you do, and you're not going to find that in any other place. So keep remembering that everybody down there is a potential door that could be open for you. So ask questions, express that you're, you know, tell them why you like this industry, or ask them why they like it. You know, find out. I mean, you're young. I mean, you guys could change your mind and decide that you want to do something else. But that's what you do when you're your age. You explore, you try to find out, is, you know, which direction you want to go. And my kids are trying to figure that out. So it's like, and I tell them all the time, I was like, hey, you don't have to know right now. I mean, you may change or not mind, but you won't know until you try something. And so there's no shame in saying, okay, I don't really like that, let me try something else. But I will tell you, when you're down there, talk to as many people as you can, and ask questions. Just in general, I'll tell you, and I tell people this, if you're planning on going into a sports turf career, learn as much, and it sounds like you probably already own that, but one thing that I wish I had done was get more, educate myself more in horticulture and other areas of the green industry versus just, you know, I had in my mind, I'm just going to do grass. Well, what you learn is even if you are hired as a sports turf manager, you're going to get labeled as the green guy. Mm-hmm. So anything landscaping, I'm lucky enough here that I've got, we contract out a lot of our external landscaping, but you get all those questions. They expect you to know what the plants are. I wish I'd paid more attention in plant ID instead of just cramming.
I paid attention. I just never got it. I was like, Pinus strobus. No. Oh, sorry.
So and by doing that, you're making yourself, I mean, I always tell young people, make yourself as employable as you can. And make yourself. And by that, what I mean is don't focus on just one thing. Get a broad range of experiences that you could put on your resume, so that if an opportunity comes open, you may have that experience, and that may be your foot in the door somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's something that I didn't do. I felt like I was, and I've been very fortunate that it hasn't really come back to bite me, that I was so focused on one area. Mm-hmm. But I do wish I had done a little more and maybe gotten a little bit more experience in other green industry areas. And I'm still working. I'm 50 years old. I'm all about trying to learn more. And so that's an area that I try to educate myself more, especially, you know, well, you know, of course, now in the facility world, I'm learning a lot, and have learned a lot in the last 4 years. I would get as much experience as you can in different areas, and obviously work hard and all that other good stuff. You need as many skills. When somebody picks up your resume and they see a lot, that you can do a lot of different things, If you, you know, learning how to work on stuff. But I think every sports turf manager needs to have some level of working knowledge of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that a lot in a lot of our young people.
Not great with it myself.
You don't have to be able to break down an engine and put it back together. Yeah. But you need to have some level of like, all right, that's what I – like some of my best employees are guys that I know if they tear something up, they're going to try to fix it. They're going to try – if the mower breaks down, they got enough sense and they've got enough mechanical ability and a mindset to try and get it up and going before they come see me or before they go to the mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, that I think is an important thing is you need to learn more about that machine than just to turn the key and drop the reels. Learn about how to grind reels. I mean,
a lot of money saved.
It's just you, if a guy knows, if an employer knows that they're getting someone with some of those skills as well as just, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
You know, like I say, you don't have to be an expert in it, but a little bit of knowledge goes a long way.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for having us. This has been incredible. And for showing them around, they had an absolute blast. We've been driving a lot.
They're eight hours into the drive. You got another a good little stretch.
We'll be fine. But again, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you guys for coming out. Anytime, my door is always open, whether it's to come on a trip or give me a call. Shoot me an email. I mean, I'd be glad to help you guys in any way I can, however, that goes for anybody, young people especially, I'll try to help folks out. The older I get, the more important that is.
Thank you again for everything.
Thank you, Drew. Yep. Yes, sir.